I want to talk to you all about your sanctification. All about your sanctification. First Corinthians 1:30. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Notice what it says there in verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ. How many see that? Are you in 1 Corinthians 1:30 with me? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made us. Watch what he makes us. He makes us. We have nothing within ourselves. He makes us wisdom. Remember the Bible says in James 1:5, anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. All wisdom comes from God. He makes unto us righteousness. How many see that? And righteousness. That's imputed righteousness. That's your justification. God sees you just as though you've never sinned. God sees you just as though you've never been the last fallen race of Adam. Amen. And sanctification. And that's what I'm teaching right now. And that's what I'm preaching right now. And guess what? Probably in a few weeks, I'll be preaching to you about glorification. You know why? Because we're going to be that in Romans. I keep you updating what's going on. Amen. Notice he made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave anything undone. And that according as written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, because it's all to God be the glory. Amen. Because all great things come from him. None of us, all him. Amen. Father, we thank you. We can study your word tonight. Lord, thank you for this great doctrine of sanctification. Help us understand all about our sanctification. And help us not to be misled about false teachings that people would try to make you think about sanctification. I pray that we'll help the folks be grounded and settled in the word tonight. We ask your blessings, and in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You might be seated. When you read that 1 Corinthians 1:30, you find out that along with wisdom and righteousness and redemption, God gives us sanctification. He made us unto sanctification. Jude verse 1 says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Sanctification comes from heaven. Amen. Many years ago, as a young Christian, I've shared this with the Romans class, and maybe I've shared it with you, but I'll, for illustrations and for the internet's sake, for those that listen to the tape ministry on the internet. Many years ago, as a young Christian, I just had been saved, and a man came up to me and asked me, "Have you been sanctified?" Starry, glassy eyes. And I had only been saved a few months, and I was excited. I've never got over being saved, I'll be honest with you. And I was a rebel when I was lost, caused a lot of trouble, and they saw a major change in me, and they couldn't get over me. And this guy was a professing Christian, and he said, "Man, this guy, there's like night and day happened to this guy." And he said, he came up to me one day in the lunchroom, he said, "Have you been sanctified?" And I said, "I don't know if I've been sanctified, but one thing I do know, I'm saved." He said, "But brother, I know you're saved, but have you been sanctified?" And that's how he said it. I'm not making fun. That's how he said it to me. And I said, "Listen, I don't know nothing about this hokey pokey stuff you're talking about right now, but I know I'm saved, pal. You want to make some of this go outside, but I'm saved." Amen. Oh, he thought there was a punch behind something. Amen. And he saved me out of the streets. Amen. Hallelujah. And so then later I went to Bible college. And Dr. John Brooke taught me the doctrine of sanctification. For almost 1 year, Tony, he taught me the book of Romans. 5 major doctrines: condemnation, justification, sanctification, glorification, consecration. Plus, he taught me about the past dealings and the future dealings and the present dealing with the Jews 9, 10, 11 of chapters of Romans. And he taught me about the doctrine of sanctification. And he taught me, Brother Andy, that there's three aspects of sanctification, or three types of sanctification. The first type of sanctification, by the way, the word sanctification means to be set apart. What's sanctification mean? To be set apart. And we're set apart. We're taken out of a lost federal head of the first Adam, and we're put in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. We're taken from the condemnation, we're put in a justification, amen? We're taken from death, put in eternal life, amen? And so, he taught me and the students that there's three types of sanctification. There's initial sanctification, and that's when you first get saved and you get the Spirit of God, and it seals you until the day of redemption. That lady today, Mary, the lady that got saved, she got sanctified today. She got saved and she got sanctified. And she got there's three types of sanctification. There's initial, progressive, and ultimate. Initial sanctification means when you first get saved. Initial means first, the first beginnings. It's when you first get saved. It's going to get the Spirit of God in you. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all men made to drink into one Spirit. That's not talking about water baptism. That's talking about the spiritual baptism from the Holy Spirit. Amen? She got that this morning, and I'm hoping later on she'll follow Lord and believers' baptism and get the water baptism, amen? But you can have 1,000 water baptisms and you won't go to heaven, but you get the spiritual baptism, you'll go to heaven, amen? By the way, those who really get the spiritual baptism, they want to follow in obedience in the water baptism. But there's initial, 1 Corinthians 12:13. There's progressive, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. By the way, that's why I'm having that 6-week discipleship class near the end of the year. I want people to grow in grace. 6 weeks of discipleship, I'll be pouring my heart out and trying to teach you so you can have new greater heights for God. Amen? And that's, and Brother Andy, and by the way, God's still working on me. You gotta remember, I was a basket case, Andy, when he started on me. There's a song, He's Still Working on Me. He's still working on. Yeah, you guys, they wrote that song for me. But I'm progressively growing in grace. Can I tell you that everyone should be progressively growing in grace? And then ultimate one day, I'll be completely taken out of this and I'll have a brand new body. Amen? That's the ultimate. So somebody ever comes up to you, Brother Andy or Josh, and they say, have you been sanctified? Say, yes, I have. Which one you want? Initial, progressive, or ultimate? Because I've been initially sanctified when I got saved. I'm progressively, and I'm waiting for ultimate. How about you? Because most people say that to you, they don't know their Bible. And so you might set someone free. Plus, oh, I never had no one tell me like that. Amen? Why are you doing that, preacher? Because I want you to be set free. Truth of Scripture sets you free. Amen? Well, let's think about this wonderful sanctification that God gives to us, which means to be set apart. We're set apart in Christ. We're taken out of the first Adam and set apart in the last Adam. I quoted you 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. And that one Spirit of 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like you to turn it off and just read it to you. I'm going to read to you from 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 13, 2 Thessalonians, we're talking about your sanctification tonight. It's not a jibber-jabber. It's not a charismatic movement. It's not something that you have to work for. It's given to you. It's freely given, just like salvation is freely given. And you get it by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. In 2 Thessalonians, and the reason I got a lot of Scripture tonight, because Scripture is what sets people free. See, I can say anything. But let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? And so look at verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning, by the way, I'm going to use this word sanctification. I'm going to use the whole word here, because God had from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification. How? Sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification comes from the Spirit of God. Look up here real quickly. I'll teach like I do in my Romans class. Justification comes from the Son of God. Sanctification comes from the Spirit of God. Glorification comes from God the Father. The Father's, see the Trinity? How many are still with preacher? Now notice what it says there, that sanctification, and the reason I'm working on this is because I'm going to show you scripture in John. Jesus foretold before he went back to heaven, before he was crucified, before he rose from the dead, he foretold about the Holy Spirit coming and doing the work of God. That your salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. You're sanctified by the Spirit of God. Sanctification comes through the Spirit. Are you with me? And belief of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Are you with me? Now stay with me. Look at Ephesians. Turn back and look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. 1:13. Oh, this is great stuff. I just love this stuff, man. I'm not kidding. I love this stuff. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of, oh, I just thought I read that back in Thessalonians about the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the truth. Hello? That you heard the word of truth, the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose, amen, according to the scriptures. The gospel of your salvation, in whom, after you believed, the moment that Miss Mary, Belinda led Mary to Christ today, the moment you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Mary didn't see it this morning when she asked Christ to save her, but that Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you where Christ earlier promised the Spirit of God. See, Jesus always keeps his promise. I might make a promise and I might fail you, but every time Jesus promises, you can take it to the bank. And so he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, God said, once you trust me as your Savior, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God. Now you need to believe that. You say, can I believe that? Well, you'd be wrong not to believe it because God said it. Now, how long is this Holy Spirit going to stay in me? Look at Ephesians 4:30. How long is this Spirit of God going to stay in this lady that just got saved this morning, Mary? By the way, our little Mary Reinhardt got a great report back from her doctor. No cancer, no problems. She's doing real good. And no runs, no drips, no airs. And she's a tough old bird. That's what the doctor says. And our little Mary's doing good. And we're glad. And she said, I'm going to come and help tomorrow at the funeral in the Becca Club time. So you might see little Mary there if you get to come tomorrow. Anyways, notice what it says in Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, which you got the moment you were saved, because God promised you would. Did you notice he said in the earlier verse, he said the Holy Spirit of promise? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Levi, you know when the day of redemption is? That's when Jesus comes back and takes us up. We get new bodies and everything. That's redemption. That means we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we won't ever leave till Jesus comes and gets us. That means we're forever sealed. How many are still with me? Day of redemption. When we get your new bodies. Hallelujah. I can't wait. Amen. Stay with me now. Now, don't turn to this. Just let me quote a few scriptures. I got here, quote, Colossians 2:11. By the way, some people think, well, you got to pray through, you got to speak in tongues to get the Holy Spirit. It's got nothing to do with praying through. It's got nothing to do with speaking in tongues. It's got nothing to do with, I should have bought a Honda, should have bought a Honda, should have bought a Honda. Should have bought a Chevrolet, should have bought a Chevrolet. You know, listen, it's got nothing to do with that kind of stuff. It's all God. It's all God. Colossians 2:11 says, you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You didn't see it. You don't have a scar there. So, I'll use Miss Sue. Last year, her and Mr. B both got heart surgery. She has a scar there. He has a scar. Brother Steve's got a scar. Both of them got scars where they had heart surgery. Okay, are you with me? How many of you have ever had heart surgery here? Okay, I guarantee everyone you had heart, you've got a scar there. You could tell where they went in there. But you know what? When you got saved, God did heart surgery, and there, you can't see where he went in. Are you with me? He made circumcision. Look, you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. It's the Spirit of God. It's not an earthly circumcision. It's a spiritual one. How many are with you? Romans 2:29 says, circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Romans 2:29. Circumcision is of the heart and of the spirit. Listen, the moment you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. The very moment you ask Christ to save you, the Spirit of God comes in. You don't see it, you can't tell it, but you don't hear no noise, you don't feel no operate, but it comes in. Isn't that exciting? I want you to look at some scripture with me in John. I got about four or five scriptures. Look with me in the Gospel of John chapter 7. Let's go back to where I preached this morning. Romans 7. You'd be surprised how many people don't know this truth. John chapter 7. I know I preached in John chapter 8 today, but I also use this living water. Remember? Look at John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, I'm in John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him, who gets the Spirit? That those that believe on him. How many see that? Which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But after he was, the Holy Spirit came. Remember? How many are still with me? But notice look at verse 39. But this spake ye of the Spirit, which they that speak in tongues will receive. That's not what it says there, does it? They that pray through all night. They that hold on. No, it says they that believe. Let me see that. You better take the scriptures. Don't worry about other people. Even if I teach you wrong, you take the scriptures over me. Let God be true and every man a liar. What does the Bible say? Amen. While you're in, look at John 14. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come after he died and rose and went to heaven. Look at John 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus says, I will pray. Are you with me in John 14? How many in John 14? Look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Why? Because Jesus was going back to heaven. Are you with me? That he may abide with you for how long? This Holy Spirit isn't a temporary fix. He's a forever. That's why you know you cannot lose your salvation. Because once you got the Spirit of God, you got him forever. The next verse, he tells you, he defines who it really is. Even the Spirit of truth. Boy, we keep getting that word truth, don't we? Are you with me? Whom the world cannot receive. Nah, it won't receive it because they don't receive truth. Because it seeth him not. neither know them, but you know them. For watch the scripture. Watch what God said about the Holy Spirit that you get the moment you believe on him. For he, the Holy Spirit, which I send, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you're saved tonight, you've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. You don't have to pray through, speak in tongues, get some kind of special anointing. No, the moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit came in you. Look at the next, say in John with me. Look at John 16, verse 13 and 14. How be it, by the way, are you in John 16, 13? Did you notice the word spirit? Big S. Big S. Means it's God's spirit. Holy Spirit. Howbeit when he, capital S, spirit, big, the spirit of, boy, there's that truth again. Amen? I wonder if God's all about truth. Amen? He is. Howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. By the way, that's one reason you know the Pentecostals are all messed up. Because here the Bible says the Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. But when you hear those charismatics, they say, Holy Ghost, yo, praise the Holy Ghost. Oh, whoa, holy mackerel. Hogwash. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's part of the Trinity. But the job of the Holy Ghost is to bring us to magnify Christ. And I used to try to witness on the CB radio. Once in a while you get these so-called Christians supposed to be in there. Have you received a gift? Have you got the gift of tongues? And that not once would they mention Jesus. And I always tell them, yeah, I've got the gift. I got the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as salvation. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for asking. I'll start quoting the scripture. I used to preach a lot on that radio. Notice, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Notice, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you. How many see that? You'll know when the Spirit of God, he'll say, oh man, you shouldn't do that. Go do this. Hello. Watch. Now watch this. Look at 17, John 17 verse 20. And Brother Brian, this is some of the things I taught last week, so you're getting caught up. We're talking about the Spirit of God. Notice verse 20 of John 17. Watch what Jesus says. Now I told you, and the Bible says that the moment you get saved, the Spirit of God's inside you. Neither pray I for these alone, Jesus said. Are you in John 17? But for them also which shall believe on me through the word. In other words, not just these Christians with me right now, but those in the future. Bob Clifford, you name your name. Are you with me? That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us. Wow. Hello. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast given me I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. Watch 23. I in them. How's he in us? Through the Holy Spirit. How many are with me? I in them, thou in me. Oh man. He's in the Father, the Father's got him, and we're in them. How are you gonna get out, Brother Carey? There ain't no way. That's why there's no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Our Father is greater than all. Hello? Jack, I'm not holding on to him. He's holding on to me. I'm in him. Hello? How many are still with me? Now watch. Stay with me. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now don't get too bored with this. It's not tickling your ear. But somewhere, one of these scriptures I'm going to read, it's going to say, you're going to say, man, I didn't know that before. I might have known the other, but one thing you're going to say, well, I'm glad. Now you learned something. And that's the whole thing about this. So you'll learn something. Amen. Mel, I'm so proud of Mel. He comes on Tuesday night, teaches. I teach. He goes back to his plant and has Bible studies and teaches them. He's had around 5 people saved already through the Bible study. It's just amazing. And they come to him. And I like Mel. He's real selective stuff. Unless I'm not here to argue. You got to bring a King James Bible and you got to do this now. Then if you have a willing heart, I'll teach you. Amen? God didn't call us to come to argue. He called us to teach and preach. Notice, but did you notice John 17 was said, I and them. You remember? How many are with me? Now look at Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in. Oh, wow. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We're in Christ Jesus. Watch. How do you get in them, preacher? Well, look at verse 11 of Romans chapter 8. But if the spirit of him, are you in Romans 8? Do you have verse 11? But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. We've already established he dwells in those that believe. Remember earlier in Thessalonians, those that believe on him? Ephesians 1:13, those that believe on him. Are you with me? Those that believe on Christ have the spirit of God dwelling in them because God says it. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that spirit that dwelleth in you. Listen, don't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. It's not a charismatic thing. Hello? Matter of fact, you can say good morning, Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you I love you and thank God for you. Hello? Acknowledge that he's there. You know, a lot of times, Brother Andy, Baptists are afraid to mention the Holy Spirit because they'll think I'm going charismatic. I'm going to tell you, we had the truth. We had the truth way before they did, before they had their untruth. They distorted the truth. Hello? You know, I am so tired of people with the charismatics and all the hokey pokey on TV. You know, come closer, touch, put your hand on that. Plus, you want a feeling? Put it back there where the electrical sockets are. You'll get a feeling. Get your real feeling there. All this hokey pokey. Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah! You come here, I'll give you a hoo-ah. You get near that cupid hammer, I'm a hoo-ah tonight. I wonder if they have those in boxes frozen. We ought to have a cupid Sunday. Everyone who comes gets a cupid. Have a picnic. Have a cupid picnic Sunday. Bethel Baptist Church. Look at Lizzie. She's going to split a gut, Eddie. Now I lost where I was. Notice, look at verse 11. Where does the Spirit of God live? According to verse 11. He dwells in you. How many see that? He dwells in you. He's the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Everyone, whether you believe it or not, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't teach all tonight on this, but you are born, every person here is born with a fallen spirit, a fallen nature. It's called the old man. Mr. Sin, carnal mind. It hates God. It's enmity against God. Not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Are you with me? Romans 8, 7. And then we have a new man. And that's when the first birth gives you the old man. The new birth gives you the new man. Are you with me? And, that new man is the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. You got a fallen nature, then you get saved, you get a spirit from God. Amen? How many with me? Earthly nature, heavenly nature. Earthly spirit, heavenly spirit. Are you with me? Holy Spirit. Amen? Now stay with me. I'm almost done. Now I want you to see this. Are you still in Romans chapter 8? Brian, some people say, well, I don't know if the Spirit of God's in me. Well, look at Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. What that's saying is this. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not saved. So, Brother Carl, what that's saying is this. Every born-again Christian, I don't care what church they go to, the church has got nothing to do with it. It's from God. Every born-again Christian on every piece of land on this old earth, no matter, I don't care if it's in Africa, Poland, America, Spain, you just name it, every person that's ever trusted Christ on this global planet earth, every person that ever gets saved, the Holy Spirit, that moment, comes and dwells within them. And if you don't think, if you say, well, the Spirit of God's not in me, then you mark it down, you're not saved. Because the Bible says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of his. Hello? And so, all God's children have the Spirit of God. Don't let the charismatics talk you out of it. Well, preacher, I've never spoken tongues. Well, I've never prayed through. Don't have to. You got it. That dear lady, Brother Carey, today that got saved. Man, that lady got justified and sanctified. She came and got forward. She came down that aisle condemnation. She asked Christ to save her. Pow! She got justification. After justification came, the Spirit of God came in. Then she got sanctified. After rapture happened tomorrow, she'd get glorified. Amen? Until that, we'll work on consecration for her. To have a walk with God. How many are still with the preacher? The moment, listen, that's why you got to be conscious. Hey, the Spirit of God lives in me. That's pretty exciting. Hello? Look, just read two more scriptures with me. Look at Ephesians. I'm just going to keep knocking this with a hammer. Look at Ephesians 1:1. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, if you're saved, you're a saint, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Where are you in? You're in Jesus. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather in together in one all things in Christ. Look up here. Jesus is coming back, but the only ones he's coming back for are the ones in him, in Christ. And the way, look up here. The way he knows that you're in him, he's put a deposit. The Holy Spirit. The scripture says we don't have time. But that they said that deposit that God gave you is called the earnest. The old timers know what I'm talking about. Years ago, I used to use that word earnest a lot. What do you show forth? Well, here's my earnest. I'm going to put this money down as a deposit, showing that I'm really sincere about purchasing this. Here's my down payment. That's my earnest. I can relate to you ladies in a way. You go to these Kmarters and Walmart, and they have the layaway. and they got a great blue light special or something. And boy, you see the best pair of shoes or the best dress you've ever seen, and you say, oh, my lands, I got to have that. I got to have it or I'll die. I got to have it. And so you tell the clerk, hey, I don't have the full $25, but I got five right now, but my husband gets paid on Friday. Can I put a down payment and put it on layaway, and I'll pick it up Friday when my husband gets back with a check? Hello? How many are still with me? And so Lizzie puts down that $5 without Eddie knowing it, but God knows about this one, Eddie. And what Lizzie really put down, Miss Mert, when you guys do that down payment, it's an earnest. It says, hey, I mean business. Well, Jesus said, I'm putting a down payment. And my down payment is the Holy Spirit. And I'm sealing you till the day of redemption, till I come back. So you ain't going nowhere. Hello? And so we are in him. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. He's in the Father. Listen, you couldn't get out if you wanted to. That's why I know I can't lose my salvation. Is Christ going to lose his? I can't lose my salvation. I'm in him. My salvation isn't determined on me. My salvation is determined on him. Boy, I wish people would get this. You cannot lose. If you kids make a bad mistake and make a sin and do wrong, you're not going to go to hell as long as you're saved. You don't have to get saved over and over and over again. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Are you with me? Notice, then, in closing, how can a person know if they have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them? If Romans 8:9, if any are not the Spirit of God, they're none of his, then how can a person know that he has the Holy Spirit in him? I'll give you three things and we'll go. And real quick. Number one, once you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have his word on it. He promised it. Well, I can't feel it. There's a lot of times I don't feel like it. You don't feel saved. If Ohio State loses next week, I'm not going to feel saved at all. And David Bauer's not going to feel safe at all. There's a lot of days, sometimes, kids, you're going to get up and you're going to say, man, I hope I'm saved. I sure don't feel like it. I feel like messing up. But if you've really trusted Christ as your Savior, you can't lose your salvation. You're out of fellowship. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. 1 John 1:7. You just got to get your walk back. Listen, Levi Wilson will always be the son of Eddie Wilson. Josh Porter will always be the son of Mike Porter. No matter what they do, if they do things to bring praise, they're their sons. If they do something to bring shame, they'll still be their son. Because they're a child of God. There's sonship, and there's fellowship, and there's walking with God, not walking with God. Are you with me? Once you're saved, you're always saved. Lizzie looks at little Eddie all the time, little Eddie, and says, I know you're my son. I'm trying to forget it, but I know what you are. Now stay with me. The world doesn't understand this. The world doesn't. And that's why they try to get saved over and over and over. We have one dear member of our church now. When she first started, she took our Romans class years ago. She grew up in a Pentecostal teaching. She never believed she could have eternal security. And one day, as I was teaching the book of Romans, some of you were there, the Holy Spirit finally gave her truth. And she broke down and just wept and wept and wept. I said, what's wrong? She said, I really do have eternal security. I'm really saved forever. See, all her life she grew up underneath saying, but then God's word set her free. That was a, you'd be surprised even in the Baptist church how many people walk in bondage. If you're saved, you're free and free indeed. Amen. Now notice. So number one, if you trusted Christ, you got his word on it. You got the Holy Spirit. Number two, look at Romans 8, 14 through 16. And then we got one more after that and we're going to quit. So we've established, number one, the Holy Spirit was promised by God. Are you with me? We established that the way you get sanctified is by through the Spirit of God, right? And we said the Spirit of God comes to those that believe in truth about Christ. How many are still with the preacher? Okay. And then Romans 8:14. The first way you know the Holy Spirit indwells you, you just trust God's word. He said it, that settles it. God says it, the moment you trust him, he came in. You didn't see it. You can't, there's no scars where he came in. You can't see the operator, but he's there. Hello? And Robert Redd, I know God's word never lies. So I know the Holy Spirit indwells me. Number two. Here's the second way you can know it. If you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you. How many have got Romans chapter 8? 8:14 through 16. Notice what it says there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you gotta have that, you gotta have many to be led of them. They are the sons of God. Boy, there's a connection there. You got the Spirit, you're a son. I'm a grill. That's all included. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. There's so many people walking in fear that are saved. God said, no, you don't have to walk in fear. I've set you free. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. He's adopted us in the family of God. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. That word Abba means daddy, daddy, daddy. Are you with me? Watch. Here's the answer, number two. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Three ways you can know that the Spirit of God dwells. Number one, if you really trusted Christ, the Scripture teaches you that the Holy Spirit came in right away. You just trust the Scripture. Number two, the Spirit inside will bear witness. Your spirit, you have a kindred spirit with other Christians. Your spirit will say amen to the things of God. What's in there to say? Man, what does that make? Lizzie, we'll be thinking about heaven or be thinking about the new, we start to cry, we get excited. What makes us do that? What makes us get excited about heaven, Brother Kerry? It's the Spirit of God. It bears witness. Amen? Or you could be, how many have ever been talking to somebody? Maybe even a perfect stranger, but you walk away and say, man, I just know that person knows Christ as their Savior. Because your spirit and their spirit bared witness. The Scripture says that the children of God that walk, their spirit will bear witness one with another. Amen? And then number three, and lastly, look at 1 John 3:14, and I'll close. 1 John 3:14. It says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we pass from death unto life if we love the brethren. Here's another way you know it, that the Holy Spirit is in you. It says we know we pass from death unto life if we love the brethren. If you're really saved, you'll love other Christians. If you're really saved, except for those that take your Kewpie hamburgers. Fred and Dave, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bop your heads if you took my hamburgers, man. The Spirit of God has spoken. Kidding. If they are, you're going to drive the lineman and get me one tonight. I'll wait for you to come back. We're having fun here, aren't we? But the Bible says that you know that you pass from death unto life if you love the brethren. Do you ever notice people that don't ever want to be around Christians? Something's wrong. Well, those church people make me nervous. Really? Boy, that preacher, I don't know, he gets pretty excited. Really? I don't know why he gets so, worked up about that. Just the Bible. Hello? Lost people don't have the love for God, the love for his work, and they don't have the love for God's children. We know that we pass from death unto life if we love the brother. Three ways I know I have the Holy Spirit. Number one, I trust God's word. He said the moment I trust him, I received it. It's the Holy Spirit was promised. So number one, I know I got the Holy Spirit because it was promised to all those that trust him. Number two, the Spirit bears witness in my heart that I'm a child of God, that I'm his child. You know, listen, you know if you know God. And number three, you'll love other Christians because they're his children. I'm all done. We have family members, and blood's thicker than water, isn't it? Because we're family. Well, the Christians have got a family. Do you know, I hate to say this to you, but many times Christian blood is more than closer than human blood. Think about, I love my family. Please don't misread me. I love my family. But I love my Christian family too. And just you think about it. Who are we closer to? Last night I mentioned about Beulah Greer dying. Lizzie didn't know it till then. And she really loved Beulah. Beulah was a born again Christian. Lizzie, tears fled from, came down. Lizzie was really hurt because she loved her. She was her part of our family. More than a friend, she was a child of God. And that's how you know. People that don't love Christians, they don't have the Spirit of God in them. If you pass from death unto life if you love the brother. Amen? And so when they're talking about sanctification, it's a big word, but don't get all worked up with it, with the charismatics. You don't have to speak in tongues, and you don't have to pray through, and you don't have to do anything. It's freely given. Tommy, we don't have to hope to get the Spirit of God. We got it. Jesus told us about it before he even came. Well, he told the disciples. He was out here when we came, amen. But he announced his coming. I got to go, but I'm going to send him back. He's going to dwell in you. Everyone that believes on me, I'll dwell. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. And by the way, you'll never lose the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. It means you can't get out. Skyler, that means when you got saved, I remember you got saved a little while ago, a few months back. Scott was just a little bitty guy, but I'm going to take it. That little guy takes everything in. That guy, sometimes he asks some big questions. That little kid's computer. Right now, we got some big questions coming up, I guarantee you. He's thinking, man. He's one of our little thinkers in our Christian school. He's one of our real little thinkers in our school. I like that. But Skyler, what that means is this. When Jesus saved you, and the Holy Spirit came in, and not only did Jesus save you, but the Holy Spirit came in and he sealed you. And you can't ever get away from him. Because he's going to hold you till Jesus comes. Amen. 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 And you can never lose your salvation. And you can never go to hell because you're a child of God. Isn't that great? Because all that receive Christ as their Savior, that very moment, they get God's Holy Spirit. You got his promise on it. And then he bears witness in your heart that he's there. And then also, you'll have love for Christians. I do remember the little Austin, one of the kids in his class got saved. Little boy comes from Austin, and they told me he told Skyler, and Skyler said, "That is really good." Yeah, Austin Schumann. That's right. Austin Schumann, and he told the class, I got saved. Debbie, well, we had chapel, and Brother Billy Turner preached that morning. Then afterwards, they went, and then Miss Debbie led this one boy. They live off Cleveland Road. His grandma picks him up. They don't come to our church, but he comes to our school. And he went back and said, I asked Jesus to save me. And they told me, Skylar said, yeah, that's good or something. You know what it was? Skylar's a little boy, but his spirit said, amen. Even at that age, his spirit said, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so great to be a child of God. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless everyone here. Pray that those that would hear me in this tape in the future, oh, we kidded around about hamburgers and stuff, but Lord, I pray they'll look beyond that. Lord, the most important thing is that they know Christ is their Savior. It's not being a Baptist. It's not being a charismatic. It's not being a Pentecostal. Lord, I would to God they'd get all the church things out in front of them and just look, put their eyes on Jesus. Lord, help them to see Jesus. Oh, God. They'll see Jesus. They'll know about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will tell them about Christ. And the Holy Spirit will enter in their heart when they trust Christ as their Savior. I pray tonight that everyone here would know you as Savior. I wonder, with our heads bowed, how many could say for sure tonight, Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit lives in me. Who could raise that hand? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Thank you. You may put him down. Is there any tonight? Is there any tonight that say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless our folks. Help them in their daily walk. And Lord, help them never to fear losing their salvation. Help them to know that the Spirit of God dwells within them. Help them to know they've been initially sanctified. Help them know that they're progressively growing in sanctification. And Lord, help them to know someday they'll have the ultimate. Father, I just pray you'll bless them in their walk with you. Give them victory, I pray. Help them to look and to study and to search the scriptures so they might know truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Stand, we'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now. Say this while people are praying. Then it says Peter was filled with the Spirit of God. When you're filled, every time you read about the fullness of the Spirit of God, it's for witnessing. You ever notice when Peter was filled, every time that people were filled in the Word of God, they preached Christ and people got saved. Amen. When we yield ourselves completely to Christ and completely to the Holy Spirit, then God can fill us. And then that's when God can be glorified. Because, and if you notice, it says Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did he do? He preached Christ. Holy Spirit never brags on himself. Holy Spirit always lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can tell if you're in the Spirit. If you're lifting up Christ, you're in the Spirit. If you're lifting up yourself or other people, or something else, you know it's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God always lifts up Christ. Always. That's how you can always know, Tommy. You can always know when they're on TV if it's a counterfeit or real. Amen? And so we pray that this little Bible study will just help you, ground you, root you, settle you, strengthen you for the days to come. A lot of people out there try to discourage and misguided teachings. Let the Bible teach you the truth and it'll set you free. Okay. Alrighty. Sing one more verse, David.